Are you or a loved one in the midst of a cancer diagnosis or bouncing back from your battle? Welcome to Thrive Through Cancer, the podcast that offers hope and healing and shares personal experiences, self-care solutions, health tips, and the support of a community of people just like you. I'm Susan Johnson, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner whose own son was diagnosed with cancer right before his third birthday. My job was to keep people healthy, to help them fight disease. So when my own son was diagnosed with this scary illness, it was so humbling. But rather than becoming a victim, I began researching. I up-leveled my knowledge and my mindset, and I chose to serve others through our own cancer journey. This show is an opportunity to find and share strength through our struggles. You'll hear from health professionals, innovative thinkers, beautiful personalities, and those who have learned to live life to the fullest despite their diagnosis. We'll raise some questions, find some answers, shed a few tears, share more than a few laughs, and give each other the motivation to get through one more day every single day. So join me in this journey and let's learn to thrive through cancer together. Follow us now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your shows. So I want to share with you a really powerful truth behind why your doctor often pushes back when you are bringing up other alternative parts of your healing journey. And this was really helpful for me to understand. And I'll be honest with you, I walked into the diagnosis of cancer with my son with a chip on my shoulder. At this time in my life, I was a functional practitioner, and I really had an ego against conventional medicine because I just didn't think it was necessary. Well, clearly, I'd never been in a position to need it. And so it's easy to say when you're not in that position, it's easy to say, well, I don't need that. It's not necessary, right? Anybody else feel that way? You can walk into parenthood and you say, I'm never going to let my kids do this. I'm never going to let my kids do this. I'm never going to let them do that. And then you're humbled when you have kids and you're like, okay, well, that all went out the window. So I do want to encourage you, even in this situation, step in closer. It's really hard to hate close up. And I even mean that with your oncologist or your functional doctor, your conventional doctor, whoever it is, when they push back against what you're bringing up that you want to do alongside their protocol, they may not accept it. In fact, most often they won't, especially when it comes to pediatric oncology. And here's why. Your doctor goes to medical school for between 4 to 8 years, depending on their specialty. That medical school is funded by pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies fund medical school. So then guess who dictates the agenda and dictates the curriculum? Pharmaceutical industries. So your doctor invests a ton of time and a ton of money to go to medical school to learn one way. They learn one way to treat disease. And this is why, truly, and you could talk to almost any doctor, and I think they would agree that in the United States specifically, we are failing at preventative care. I think we're second to none at emergency medicine. And some of the incredible procedures that we can do to save lives is phenomenal. But when we talk about preventative medicine and we talk about healing the root cause of disease, we're failing. But if we look at the establishment behind education, it makes sense. So your doctor goes to school that is funded by medicine to learn how to treat disease with medicine. And I want you to understand that, especially if we're coming from the aspect of like a pediatric oncologist, a young man or a young woman doesn't decide to become a pediatric oncologist because they want to get into this and just really screw with parents. So why they do it? And I would also beg to differ from the opinions that people become doctors because they want to make a lot of money. There's a lot of other ways to make a lot of money. I truly believe that people that become doctors, they want to help. They want to help people heal. But unfortunately, if they go through conventional medical education, they are only taught one way. And unless they decide to invest more time and more money and more energy into learning alternative ways to heal and learn traditional medicine, which is what I call, you know, it's alternative traditional medicine. This is their only game plan. And so I want you to put yourself in the shoes of your oncologist. So let's say you have a child with cancer, and you may have a child that is healthy, but you've brought them into the doctor before, and you walk in, and this particular doctor asks a few questions and you share what you're doing. And so in the case of pediatric oncology, I remember we walked in and, you know, we're at one of our clinic appointments in the very beginning, and I share some of the supplements we're giving my son, and the oncologist panics and says, "You can't do that. None of that is safe." And I learned early on to say, "Can you tell me why you think this is unsafe? Can you tell me why I shouldn't do this?" And that's usually where they stop. They're stopped dead in their tracks. And here's their point in this. Again, they're not doing this to screw with you. They're not doing this because they want to ruin your life and they want your child to suffer. They're doing this because they were taught by conventional medicine, by the pharmaceutical industry, their curriculum on how to use chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and medication to treat disease. And while we know that can all play a role, they're not taught anything else. And so when you bring your child with cancer into an oncologist and they put your child on the mandatory protocol that's required by law in the United States to go through conventional treatment if you are under 18 years old, they put you on the protocol. Their goal is that your child will have no evidence of disease, which we call NED, at the end of that protocol. But guess what happens when you throw at them that you want to start your child on vitamin C? You want to do all these different therapies and you're working with this awesome chick named Season who's helping your child feel amazing through treatment, but she's suggesting you do this, this, and this. And you start throwing this at your oncologist, they are going to stop you dead in your tracks and say, "No, you cannot do that." And here's why they're saying it. Because they all of a sudden lose control of what they know to be step one, step two, step three, step four, no evidence of disease. Now you're throwing things in there they know nothing about, and they feel like they lose control over the process and over the protocol of the conventional approach to cancer. And so they want to see your child have no evidence of disease at the end of this, just like you do. But the minute you start throwing all these other things that you're doing, they don't know how to, they put their hands up because they don't know how that interacts. They don't study it. You guys, oncologists get a 7-hour elective in nutrition. They go to school for between 6 and 8 years. And in 6 and 8 years, they have 7 hours of nutrition. That's where the system is broken. And so if you understand this, if you understand the idea that your oncologist wants to help your child, they do want to see them with no evidence of disease at the end, you're going to have to make a choice to trust them with the chemotherapy, the radiation, and the surgery. And then you need to hire a team or an individual to work closely with that you can trust with the nutrition, the supplementation, and the detoxification. Just like anything, it takes a village. It's not just one person. When my son was going through treatment, we had an entire team of people we worked with. We had our oncology team, and I called them the chemotherapists, and they did what they needed to do here. And then we had a nutritionist, we had a functional medicine doctor, we had a chiropractor. We had all of these different practitioners, and this is actually why I created the Thrive Through Cancer Formula program, because we spent well over $250,000 in 3.5 years on treatment for my son, outside of conventional. That was paid for by insurance. And I knew that this wasn't a realistic situation for most families to do. So me putting together the Thrive Through Cancer Formula was that this way the families could have almost an all-in-one protocol support with a functional medicine doctor, with myself, who is a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, and know how to support their child alongside conventional medicine. So it does take a village. It cannot be just a one size fits all. And unfortunately, that's the problem with conventional medicine is it is one size fits all. And the only thing they change is based on weight. And that was so infuriating to me that my son, who walked into cancer treatment, who was had never had a vaccine in his life, who had never had a toxin put in his body, the kid had never been on medication his whole life. He went from breast milk to bone broth, but he was treated the exact same with the exact same medication as a child that came into cancer diagnosis, 20 pounds overweight, on medication for diabetes and horrible genetics. This is where conventional medicine messes up, is it is not a bio-individual approach, but rather than blaming conventional medicine and saying F conventional medicine and all of that. And you guys, it has taken me time. Like I told you, I walked into my son's cancer diagnosis with a massive chip on my shoulder against medicine. And you can imagine the humility that just like seeped out of my veins and my pores as we navigated 3.5 years of giving my son chemotherapy every single day and having to truly believe that it was playing a role in his healing. So I was completely humbled. But you have to understand that we can use conventional and we can use traditional. In fact, we have to. They have to come together if we really want to see that we win this war on cancer. So I want to encourage you, you cannot just depend on the conventional oncology team. Cancer doesn't happen because you were deficient in chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. God didn't create you to need that. Now, due to centuries of degeneration from poor environment, poor health, poor nutrition, and just the breakdown of our genetic makeup, we call it degeneration. We are becoming sicker and sicker. But you don't get cancer because you needed chemo. You get cancer because something in your immune system wasn't operating correctly, or perhaps you had a genetic SNP that isn't allowing you to detoxify properly. Maybe you have a nutrient deficiency. So when we look at this, and again, as parents that have a child with cancer, we are forced to go through conventional treatment if you're in the US and Canada. So we can do that. We'll go through conventional treatment, but that can't be the only thing. We have to employ the resources and the knowledge and the insight from functional practitioners that know how to help support the terrain, how to help correct some of those genetic SNPs that are not allowing your child to detox, how to support their body to make sure they get the nutrients they need. So I hope that most importantly, you are encouraged to know that your doctor is on your team. And if you don't feel that they are, please remember, your doctor works for you. You are paying your doctor. It's not the other way around. So if your doctor isn't open to questions, if your doctor isn't open to conversation, if your doctor isn't open to being challenged, then you need to find a new doctor. Their job is to work for you. You're on the same team, or you should be. But if you approach your doctor knowing that you both have the same goal in mind, to experience healing at the end of the protocol, and knowing you can trust your doctor to do that with the medicine, but you cannot be passive. You have to employ the resources and the knowledge of other people to come alongside and really help support the underlying cause, help heal from the inside out. And if you're interested, by the way, in the Thrive Through Cancer formula, you can comment the word thrive, and we will send you info on the 3 different options you have to lock arms with us, with myself, my team, our functional medicine doctor, Dr. Pennick, to literally lock arms and work with us to help your child thrive through treatment. So just comment the word thrive if you want to learn more. Now, I see questions coming in and I want to answer those questions for you. This is always fun because it's actually helpful to kind of bring perspective behind a lot of the things that I bring up and have you guys just have different perspective of other people. So Diana said, now that my daughter is done with conventional cancer treatment, praise God, what kind of carbs do you recommend that I give her a few times a week? So this is a great question, Diana. And one of the things that I would encourage you all to realize is carbs aren't bad. I think we live in a society that is very black and white, you know, and we like to kind of categorize things as good or bad, good or evil, right? And it's not really that simple. And so I want you to understand there's fat, there's protein, and there's carbohydrates, and actually all are essential. Your brain depends on glucose to thrive. Glucose is sugar, but it's all about the quality and the quantity. And so Diana's asking, now that she's out of treatment, what kind of carbs should I feed her? And I will say a couple things. Number one, we actually just had somebody join our program, our Thrive Through Cancer Formula, that finished treatment. They're out of treatment, but they recognize that this is where real healing has to begin. So I do want to encourage you, if your child was done with treatment, it's not time to be passive, cross your arms, kick back, and resume life as before cancer. It's actually time to 10X your healing. Now that they're not being pumped full of all the toxins on a regular basis, their body can actually really start to detox. So what I would encourage you, if you're done with treatment, is to celebrate that and to praise God for the healing, but to commit to going all in on detoxing their body, supporting them with nutrition. And so it's not time to just like kind of loosen up on diet. It really isn't. In fact, it's quite the opposite. So the type of carbohydrates that she should be eating should be coming from organic veggies and fruit. Now, on occasion, I'm totally fine with things like organic, properly prepared rice, quinoa. Those are fine. I'm not a fan of bread, even fermented sourdough bread, when you're in an active cancering process and even shortly after. When you consume gluten, even if you tolerate it well, there's a release of something called zonulin, which is really, really destructive and can increase levels of inflammation. And so minimizing or removing gluten during treatment is really important, and even after for some time. So I would take this next year post-treatment to go all in on healing. And so carbohydrates should come from organic veggies, organic fruit, and plenty of starchy tubers. I'm okay with that. Like sweet potatoes are great. Yucca is great. There's different types of starches that you can incorporate that aren't really high on the glycemic index, meaning high in sugar and can spike your blood sugar levels. So all that to say, Diana, I would encourage you to continue on the healing diet, continue getting nutrients in her that are going to help her detoxify. I would dig into what supplements that she should be taking based on her genetic makeup. Like, where is she at? Where does she need more support? I would 10X the detox and make sure you're doing at-home detox therapies, maybe even employing somebody that can come alongside of you and support her in the healing journey and figuring out where she's deficient and where she needs a little bit more support. So hopefully that's helpful. Great question, by the way.
Many cancer parents wish there was more they could do to help their child thrive through their diagnosis. They're sick of dealing with the side effects from treatment, low A&C, and unplanned hospital stays. Not to mention having to often resort to the band-aids that are currently offered, but they don't always work. At best, they provide temporary results that sadly rarely last. Although I'm now the go-to expert for many cancer families, it took my own journey with my son to learn how to help families thrive today. And oddly enough, what I learned and put into action was so counterintuitive that I didn't mention to anyone at first what I was doing. I thought I'd be ridiculed because it was different. It challenged convention, but it worked. Finally, my community of cancer parents had a simple and proven method to help their child thrive without extra medication, without forcing their child to eat something they didn't want to, without interfering with doctors' protocols or breaking the bank. I call it the Thrive Through Cancer Formula. And if you'd like to see how it works and why it's more effective than most options out there, then I invite you to watch a brand new online training where I show you exactly how my clients have achieved lasting results following this unique process. You can watch it by going to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Inside, I'll share the leading cause of our kids feeling unwell during and after treatment and what we can do about it. I'll share why cancer parents who want to enhance their child's quality of life should avoid keeping their child in a sterile environment. There's a much more powerful and natural way to help support their child's immune system. I'll share the unexpected reason why kids with cancer have a hard time avoiding inpatient stays and how to change it. So much more will be shared in this webinar, and you've already taken the first step by just listening to this. So please take the next step and watch the free training today. Go to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Now back to our show.
Do you believe we can heal without chemo and radiation, relying solely on holistic medicine and protocols? I think that, yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing. A, I'm not God. B, we are biochemically individual. And I do think that we should always approach any illness with first, do no harm. Before we cut, before we poison, and before we burn, we should absolutely tap in to what God created in us and use the resources around us to bring healing. And so this is where holistic medicine and holistic protocols come into play. But there are times where conventional medicine is absolutely necessary and can play an active role in healing. And so while it might be one thing for Pam who just joined and another thing for William and another thing for Diana, each one of you could walk in to a clinic with the exact same diagnosis. But because of how God created you and your specific genetics and your specific nutritional deficiencies and all of these different the environment that you were raised in and the emotions you carry, your treatment is going to look different. And so this is why it can't be a one size fits all. And I am a big fan of combining traditional and conventional medicine. People ask me all the time, Susan, if you got cancer, what would you do? And it's just like what I was saying in the very beginning. Remember, I walked into this diagnosis with my son with a big chip on my shoulder saying, I don't need medicine, but it's because I hadn't needed it. So how easy for me to say, just like those of you who judge others, like, I wouldn't do that. I mean, you can imagine the amount of messages that a cancer mom gets when she shares about her child's diagnosis, the amount of messages and suggestions of what they would do. And many of you have even said, well, I would just pack my bags and leave the country. Okay, that's nice for you. But do you really know what that's like? Do you really know what it's like to be in a white conference room surrounded by medical professionals and have a doctor look you in the eye and tell you your baby has cancer? And do you really know what it would take to fight against the legal system to pack your bag and leave that hospital fleeing from the government? And then what it would be like to leave the country and find a job somewhere to pay for the treatment? Like, I just want to encourage all of you to remember to keep the perspective that when you step in closer, it's easier to understand. When you step in closer, it's harder to hate. Because until you're in those shoes, it is so hard to answer those questions. And I think that it's a pretty big ego to be able to say confidently, well, if I had cancer, I would do this. You don't know what you don't know. And so when people ask me that question, I always say, well, yeah, I have, thank God, an incredible team of resources, an incredible team of professionals, a decade or more of education. So believe me, there's a lot of things that I would try before conventional treatment, but I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is. And so just, I really do want to encourage you that this will look so different for every single person. And so before you pass judgment on how one person, and I know, by the way, this question is not in a judgmental way, so please understand, I'm just using this as an example. But before you pass judgment on what somebody's doing or not doing, just understand, like, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what you don't know. This is where grace has to be overflowing. So I hope that helps. I hope that you understand, all of you, that like this is a really difficult, it's a horrible diagnosis to receive, whether it be a child or an adult. And so just being mindful of that is really important. Okay, this isn't letting me pull up the questions right now. I apologize. Somebody just said, surgery is next week for a relapse, working on diet. Anything else that I should do before surgery? Well, first of all, I'm really sorry to hear that. We have in our Thrive Through Cancer Formula program, we actually have a few relapses right now we're working with. And I will say, just to give you hope, is a few of the families, I shared a story, I think it's still up, that you can go back and watch, of a mama and her sweet boy, Brooks, who was diagnosed, her son was diagnosed at 11 days old. Can you imagine? Diagnosed at 11 days old and started chemotherapy at 14 days old. Tell me this world is broken without telling me this world is broken. He went through treatment. He became NED, so no evidence of disease, and then recently relapsed. That's when she found us. She enrolled in the Thrive Through Cancer Formula program. And the doctors cannot believe how well her son is doing. Not only is he like full of life and energy, but he's responding to treatment. And so one of the things, Rayanne, that I would encourage you to do is, number one, nutrition. That is, you cannot supplement your way out of a bad diet. It is essential. So nutrition is the foundation to all of this. Removing sugar, removing processed grains, removing bad oils like vegetable oils and seed oils out of their diet, increasing healthy fat intake, increasing organic herbs and organic vegetables, bone broth, fermented foods. These are all going to contribute to helping her immune system kick into gear. And then the other thing that I would highly encourage is to make sure you're detoxing. Work with somebody that knows how to help make sure she's eliminating and pushing toxins out. I think many times we see relapse happen because we look at, as a parent, you know, you're given this ultimatum, you have to do conventional treatment. And then you look at the number one side effect of almost every chemotherapy, secondary cancer. And I don't know that that would always be the case if we were taught by conventional medicine and you didn't have to depend on somebody like me, who's an outside source coming in to tell you we have to detox the dead tumor waste that this toxic medicine's killing off. We have to detox the residual cytotoxic poison out of our body so it's not recirculating. And so detox is going to be another really, really important thing. And just starting that now, prepping her for that and going into surgery would be really important. And for those of you who are listening and you're interested in the Thrive Through Cancer Formula program, please comment the word thrive or DM me the word thrive, and we will send you information about that to just help you get an idea of this, if this is a good fit for you. Anna Seuss is asking, do we have a recommendation for a nutritionist? And yeah, sure. There's a lot of fantastic nutritionists and practitioners out there. There's also a lot of nutritionists that are horrible at their job. In fact, I've had some of you send me messages on Instagram DMs of some registered dietitians that are just preaching horrible food gospel and actually making parents feel okay about feeding their kids sugar processed foods. And it's so devastating. Actually, we work so hard at empowering families to feed their child with nutrition that sometimes when we see this propaganda, we know they're bought. And it's frustrating. So as far as looking for a good nutritionist, there is the institution that I went through for my education. And please understand that this was just like the foundation of what I learned. And then from there, this was 10 years ago, I could never stop learning and enrolling in schools and programs and in one right now to continue to understand the body and health and cancer as a metabolic disease. But if you go to Nutritional Therapy Association, their website, so Nutritional Therapy Association, you can find an NTP near you. And while I can't vet every single person on that website, I know that the education they received is similar to mine, which is a really traditional approach to nutrition, to detox, and just clean, non-toxic living. So Nutritional Therapy Association would be great to be able to use as a resource. Adult friend that this live would be so amazing to listen to. So here's the thing. I have had 7 of you in the question bubble. I didn't ignore you, by the way. Those of you who left this message in the question bubble saying, please save this. Will you please record this? Will this be recorded? I'm going to go ahead and utilize this on my podcast. Put a 1 in the comments if that would be helpful. If I save this live and I upload it onto the podcast so that you can share it with other people and we can get this message out to more people. Drop a 1 in the comments if that's helpful. I appreciate you thinking of your family and friends too, by the way, that could benefit from this. I think that's how we make the world a healthier place is you don't have to go to school for nutrition. You can actually, if there's somebody that you like, you know, and you trust that you're willing to share that information with others, that's how you impact other people's lives. Awesome. I'm seeing some ones. That's great. Yeah. I would encourage you to, just make sure that you're sharing the information you learn. Remember, I have a massive goal this year. Many of you are already helping with that. I want to impact the lives of 200,000 pediatric cancer families by giving them hope. And that means you sharing this podcast, or you sharing this Instagram, or you sharing my Instagram, you sharing Kick Cancer Movement, our nonprofit. There are so many ways that you can help me reach these families. And all I'm trying to do is just be a beacon of light and hope in their life. So they can go to bed tonight going, okay, I feel like I have hope in this healing journey. Diana's asking, she's been hearing about cassava flour and almond flour being toxic. She said it's hard. She bakes with that a lot. Can I just encourage you, number one, that there is so much, and I apologize if I've ever been this person. I never want to have bring fear and stress around foods, but I realize now with the access to information, it can sometimes be deafening, right, Diana, where you're you hear all of this information out there and then you're like, I don't know what the right decision is. Oh my gosh, I thought this was good, but now it's bad. What? So I want to encourage all of you to take a deep breath and always remember you do the best you can with what you have. And it isn't until you know better that you can do better. Those are my 2 favorite sayings, and it's because it is absolutely true. So when we think of almond flour and cassava flour, first of all, cassava flour and almond flour are fine. I wouldn't use it every single day. And here's a couple of reasons. Number one, cassava flour is really, really high in starch. Therefore, it can be a little bit disruptive to blood sugar levels if it's something you're cooking with all the time. It can actually also cause, some of you may have experienced, if you eat a lot of cassava, just kind of gut bloating. So for example, the Siete chips, I love the brand Siete. We use their almond flour tortillas when we're making tacos, but they make chips that are super addictive, super delicious, and they use clean oils, but it's cassava chips. And if I eat too many of those, I feel so bloated. And it's because of the high starch content in cassava. So all that to say, I think it's okay to cook with. It is ideal to always use organic. If you can find organic or cassava that is sourced outside of the U.S. Now, as far as almond flour, a big thing to know about almond flour is, unfortunately, most almond orchards and almond farms are sprayed heavily with pesticides. And so almonds can carry a really high pesticide residue, almond milk, almond flour. And so being aware of that, then you can make the better choice to choose organic almond flour, right? And Diana, I think it's fine. Just don't use it every day. Almond, baked goods aren't something we should eat every day anyways, right? But we're going to all enjoy it. I mean, I'm not going to be one to pass up a fantastic croissant from our little Italian bakery here in Mexico. Bonus that it is, the flour is from Mexico, so it's not genetically modified. There is no glyphosate sprayed on it. But that's something I'll enjoy on an occasion. So all that to say, we're not purists here. But when you know better, you do better. And so when you're using almond flour, just make sure it's organic and it's not something that you should consume every single day. In fact, many of you watched the reel I did a few weeks ago, a month ago, I don't remember now, about almond milk. And it was humbling for me to learn. Ever since we moved to Mexico, we don't have access to the raw milk we were using before. We bought some organic almond milk. And I always am a learner, right? I want to continue learning to know how I could do better. And I started learning about almond milk, and almonds are radiated before they're turned into milk. And just all the things I studied about it, it allowed me to do better. And so now we're making homemade coconut milk. It's actually quite delicious if you do that. But all that to say, just make sure when you're consuming almond flour that it is organic almond flour. That's going to be your best bet. So let's see. I want to make sure I saw a few more comments come in. Just comment the word thrive if you want to learn about the Thrive Through Cancer Formula Program. And yes, it is for families that have a child with cancer. And there's three levels, you guys, because we always are listening and hearing from you of what would be best. And there's a really inexpensive entry level that gives you access to the course and the education in that course, which is phenomenal. Gives you access to recipes, to protocols, to video lessons, to coupon codes on some of our favorite supplements. It gives you supplement recommendations. And that's our level one option. And then level two and three give you access to all of that course content, plus live weekly coaching from myself and our functional medicine doctor on our Tuesday coaching calls, which today, actually the first Tuesday of the month, it's my favorite because on Tuesdays is when we have a guest speaker come on and share. And on the first Tuesday of every month, it's the kids call. So all our kids come on, siblings and our cancer thrivers, and we play a game and they get to win prizes. And so we love doing that because it establishes this normalcy for these kids that sometimes feel like they're on an island, right? They're on their own, or they look different than their friends, or they feel different. And so they get to see each other on Zoom, play a game, and we kind of make fun of moms. We say, what's the worst thing your mom made you eat this week? And we kind of are making this all feel normal, or who took their supplements every day this week, you know, and just encouraging them, but for them to feel like they're not alone in this process. So all that to say, comment the word thrive. We'll send you information about all three levels of the program to see what makes the most sense for you. If not almond or coconut milk, what would be a better alternative? Well, raw milk, raw cow's milk and raw goat's milk is the best alternative if you do not have an allergy to casein. Most people think they're allergic to milk, they're allergic to dairy, when in fact they're actually just intolerant to the lactose, which is only present when you pasteurize milk. Do you know that? So if you can find a good organic raw dairy and get access to their raw cow's milk or raw goat's milk, that's superior to anything else. And you can go to realmilk.org. It's either .org or .com, realmilk.org, realmilk.com. I can't remember, to try to find a raw dairy farm near you. Our favorite is Raw Farm in California. They do ship their kefir, their cheese, and their butter to different states, but you can't get their raw milk. They can't ship it across state lines. But if you're in California, check out Raw Farm. They're incredible. We're friends, family friends of theirs. They really supported us through Kicker's treatment. And actually, we call him Papa Mark, would bring us his raw kefir and raw milk every time they'd come and visit. Kicker would carry in his raw cow's milk kefir to chemotherapy appointments in the court and would be drinking out of it. It was like his body knew he needed that. So all that to say, to answer your question, ideal is raw cow's milk, raw goat's milk. The second best thing, in my opinion, would be homemade coconut or homemade macadamia nut. I'm sorry. Yeah. Homemade macadamia nut milk, because the fatty acid profile is higher in omega-3 fatty acids than in some of the other options like cashew. I'm not a big fan of cashews. While it's fine on occasion, one of the mistakes that a lot of vegans and vegetarians make is they overdo it on cashews and chickpeas, and these are legumes. Cashew's a legume, and overall, it's really disruptive to the mucosal lining of your gut. It can wreck your hormones. This is one of the reasons that a lot of vegans don't have a sex drive, because their hormones are actually really struggling because they're not getting the healthy fats, and instead they're consuming high levels of legumes and oats that actually counteracts any of the benefit they're getting from their healthier food options. So yeah, hopefully that's helpful. And yeah, try to make macadamia nut. And here's a tip. I learned this from our chef here in Mexico, actually. She adds a date. You can add dates to your macadamia nut milk or your coconut milk. That felt hard to say. Add dates to sweeten a little bit. Add dates, a little bit of sea salt. You could add cinnamon if you want. You could also add, I think she was saying she was adding nutmeg. just to kind of improve the flavor and to give it a little bit of sweetness naturally. That's another way to do it. Well, I hope this was helpful. Thanks for your feedback. We will upload this to our podcast, so stay tuned for that. Okay, and we'll make sure to release, we'll share when we release. But here's the thing. Can you guys do me a big favor? This is a big ask, but I need your help because I am so committed to impacting 200,000 families' lives this year. Will you go to my podcast on either iTunes or Spotify? It's Thrive Through Cancer with Susan Johnson. Find it. Will you subscribe? And then will you leave a rating? That is actually how, and I learned this recently, I'm new in the podcast world. That is how they decide if they're going to put your podcast in front of people. Just like on Instagram, when you have an algorithm and it's based on what you're looking at, that they put different content in front of you. So if you would be willing to go to find the Thrive Through Cancer podcast on Spotify or Apple iTunes, wherever you listen, follow the show and then leave a rating, I would be so thankful. And that's how we can get this information out to more and more families. So I'll go and check it out later today. And I would love to personally thank anybody who does that. So if you do, will you tag me in your stories and I can thank you for that. I do appreciate it. And it is how we get this information out to more people to make this world a healthier place. So thank you guys in advance. Have a beautiful day and hopefully I'll see you tomorrow.